We've been talking for months now about the epic journey of Syrians trying to find a safe haven, mostly in Europe. They're not the only group of people on the move. In a few minutes, we're going to hear from a refugee family who found a new home and stability in the U.S. But we're going to start off with a look at Kurdish migrants fleeing Iraq. For now, they're stuck in northern France. That may not sound so bad, but these people are holed up in a migrant camp in a town near Dunkirk. And as we hear from Adeline Sia, the conditions are harsh.
When you cross the boulevard in the residential neighborhood of Baroc, you enter a different world, the migrants' camp of Grand Sainte. Once you pass through a gate guarded by police, you see an ocean of tents planted in the mud, crammed together between piles of trash. Some are made of sticks and tarps, held down with anything from sacks of flour to rocks, cans, broken strollers, or bicycles. Shai Rojansky is an Israeli logistician with Doctors Without Borders. This is Rojansky's first mission. He says even though he'd seen videos of the camp before he arrived, he couldn't believe what he actually saw here.
I was appalled, and then I actually heard from a lot of my colleagues that this is actually, even comparing to the other refugee camps they've seen in war-torn places in Africa and so on, this is actually a pretty bad case.
The camp's population ballooned from 50 to 2,500 over 5 months, which places a huge burden on this small suburban town of 21,000 people. That's why the town and local charities called in Doctors Without Borders for help. Françoise Lavoisier works with a local group called Salam that provides clothing and hot meals at the camp. There has never been so many families here, and she's worried about the roughly 200 young children. It's winter, it's cold, the bad weather is going to last for a while, she says. And all these infants and children and mothers, what are we going to do with them? The town is preparing a new camp with heated tents, but it will take a few weeks to get it ready. In the meantime, trucks deliver firewood a few times a day, and camp residents rush to grab armfuls. There are campfires everywhere. Jort Baki is from Mosul in northern Iraq. He left behind an elderly mother who couldn't travel. Like most of the people here, he's a Kurd fleeing the violence of ISIS or Daesh, which controls his hometown.
Our house is gone, and difficult life. Because of the war, all the stuff is gone, so we come to Europe for help.
He says he wants to go home when it's safe, but for now, he's stuck at this camp.
I like these people. Support is okay, but the place is no good place, Very cold, jungle cold, raining, yeah.
Gona Aziz is also a Kurd who fled Iraq. She tells me she's from Gwer, near Erbil. She made the trip with her 4 young children. She says her husband was a Peshmerga fighter who lost both his legs. He went to stay with friends so she could take the children out of the country. On October 5, I had to leave my city, she says, because Daesh had taken it. They had captured my father and cut his throat. We found his body later on. They also kidnapped my 2 brothers and asked for ransom. We couldn't pay, so I put the children in the car and drove to Erbil. She drove to the Turkish border, then took a bus to Greece, then a boat to Italy, then trains to France. Now, she's not sure she should have made the journey at all. If I'd known what I'd have to go through and how I would live in this camp, I would have never left Iraq. I would have stayed there so that Daesh could come and cut my throat and my children's throats. That would have been better. No one is threatening us here, but we won't be able to live in these conditions. And she doesn't want to stay in France. Aziz has relatives in England who brought her food, clothes, and money. For many here, Britain is the promised land. All my loved ones are there, she says. My husband's brothers, my sisters. If I make it there, they may be able to help me. But if I stay here, I have nobody. Beyond the cold and the deep mud, another issue is the lack of sanitation. There are only 20 chemical toilet stalls here for the entire camp. Shai Rojansky of Doctors Without Borders says that's about to change.
We're actually at the moment looking into doubling the capacity and also doubling the frequency of the emptying of these toilets. Because, for a camp of 2,500 people, it's nothing. It's really, really nothing. It's a dangerous situation.
So far, the town of Grand Sainte and the NGOs have provided most of the support for the camp, but the French government has not supplied any funding yet. Hassan Diyar is one of the newest residents here. He and his wife and five-year-old daughter arrived from Sulaymaniyya in Iraq just a half hour ago. He's shocked that their shelter tonight will be a small tent wedged between piles of garbage. His daughter Diaz not happy to be here either, but she knows she's headed somewhere better.
Britannia.
I want to go to England.
She might not get there anytime soon. The UK says it will consider asylum for migrants with family in Britain. But first, they have to apply for asylum in France. When I ask Dia if she's already learned a few English phrases, her mother jumps in with a prompt.
ABCD, s'il vous plaît.
ABCD, EFG.
For the world, I'm Adeline Cyr, Grand Sainte, France.